I'm gonna hit record, okay? I'm gonna call this meeting of the Peru Select Board to order at 5:30. First item of business, hello Ben, is, you got some handouts right here. Review the minutes from
Wayne,
March 4th.
Lori?
How are you, Ben?
Good.
Unless there are any objections, I'll move that we accept the minutes.
I second it.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Unanimous. Great. Any requests to change the agenda? Hearing none. Public comment. Wayne is here as the road foreman, not as the public. Okay, so none. Let's go to the rich two-part topic, the road foreman proposal to hire or for hiring a part-time and or on-call position on the road crew and the South Road condition and a plan for the future of road maintenance. Can we actually start with two? Can we flip them?
Yeah, you can start with South Road first.
Okay, let's just because I think that gets us in the mode of kind of what we need to get
all excited and want to spend money.
Well, face the music. You know what I mean? Wayne, what's your thinking first, and then we'll get to.
Well, is everybody? You've probably been on South Road. And it's horrible. The whole thing from start right to the wind hall line. Last year I had our paving guy look at it and he recommended grinding it up, tearing all the blacktop right down to dirt, grinding it together because our cracks are so wide. That just paving it's just a band-aid. Grinding it and repaving and new gravel and all of that, new culverts would have to be put in. It's going to be a pretty expensive ordeal to fix it the right way. Otherwise, put a Band-Aid on it and go another 5-6 years and it'll look the way it looks now.
Is that how long this...
It's been done. What did we come up with on that? Or, well, 12
it's
years?
It's about 12.
I think it was 12.
Yeah.
Is where we're at in the condition it's in.
12 years.
12 years. But every year it's going to get worse right. Because your cracks down below are getting bigger as they work their way up through. So it's not going to last too long. Every time it's less, less, and less. So I'm just trying to get an idea of what to do because our truck, our big truck, our truck two, which is the 10-wheeler, the red one, the actual plow frame from all the bumps and is falling off the ripping off the truck. It's not falling off, it's ripping off. So I'm having that fixed as we speak. It's still there welding on it. And the dump body on it, of course, he had to fix. So that was a whole other issue. But the road itself, what I see is grinding it up, tearing it up, and starting over.
Are there any sections of it that
are good?
Yeah.
You drove it. There isn't. Route 11 coming off, maybe up to
maybe
a little ways, you know, it probably could go without being ground up. But if you're going to, start fresh, I would start from where the state put the apron in, probably, 30 feet in. Start from that point and work our way. Probably on first, we would go from there. You grind the whole thing. And if we had money enough, try to pave maybe half of what we grind up. Because I think if we tried the whole thing, I don't think we have money enough. I don't even know what we have for money, to be honest.
I don't either. I've checked that with Cheryl once you get back.
Last year's paving that didn't get finished from Mossbrook Road down to Half Good Pond, the guardrails, because he ran out of time. So that's still on our agenda. And I think that was somewhere $90,000. You were going to look, you didn't get a chance to do it.
No, I haven't looked for the bid.
And that hasn't been paid for yet.
And that hasn't been paid for. So that's got to come out of our fund, and we only had, I think, 22.5 or 25 each year to paving. And this project down here, just to grind it, would probably be in the $25,000-$30,000 to get it down to the dirt, then start the culvert work, get those in, because they're all out of compliance. They're, most of them are 15 inch going down through, and they're supposed to be 18s now as you replace them. So it's something we got to get going on and get a plan and get a budget going and get it into the budget and see where we're going to go. And then the other part, from horses from hire down to the wind hall line, is horrible. And it's never going to get any better, even if you repave it, because the underneath of it was never prepped right. It was a plan Jim had, and then I took over. It was already in the works. The money was there. It got
right.
And
do we know what that total cost is to do that?
No, I got to get the paving guy to come up and give us an idea of what it's going to cost to grind and pave and get an estimate. But this year's price on paving, I think, is going to be astronomical with the price of fuel the
right.
way it is.
Do we want to pave it? Do we want to consider just making it a dirt road?
Well, that's the next option. I'm glad you brought that up, so I didn't have to. That would be your other option, is go back to dirt, the whole, like, grind it up, get rid of your pavement, have a dirt road. Is that in the work? Could it be? Is anybody going to complain? Or anybody going?
What does that look like in mud season?
I don't know. I never was up here in mud season.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, yes, I was on the part from horses for hire to the wind hall, and it wasn't real bad. There was one section.
And there was one section that
got
I feel like there were two sections that had.
I remember by the pull off where you can pull off and walk. That used to get pretty
big rock areas that they used to put like gravel down and.
Right, stone gravel every year. Yep. Well, that's the next option. Is it worth paving over that section? We're not. What really kills your blacktop is salt.
Right.
Gets in your cracks, heaves and hose, and then your blacktop cracks. And we don't salt that portion, so the next option, leave it the way it is and pave that section down the road at some point. You know, but you're going to look at doing both sections and all that. You're probably going to be in the $500,000-$600,000 range, just a guess, with the price of fuel and everything coming up.
87.3.
That's what was for.
Yeah, I was looking under O'Brien, and it was actually Fuller. That gave us that bid. So that's
to ground
the village
up a section of,
to basically to the firehouse.
From the bridge to about the town garage, just past where it's pretty rough there. To grind that up and then pave the whole thing down through. And what do we have for money in the account?
I don't know. I have to get that from Cheryl.
I don't have that.
That printout.
Is the assumption, I know you don't know, but is the assumption that money was already allocated? That we had it
We had it in. We had it.
Three was allocated for
that.
We had it.
So that we have. We just don't know what we have left over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they combined, we had resurfacing and new blacktop, and they combined the two together. And I don't know.
A few years ago. Yeah, that used to be two lines, and then I think 4 or 5 years ago they got merged.
Do you have a recommendation to pave it versus keeping it dirt?
I think it should be up to the townspeople to, you know, what they want. It's your guys' town.
The problem is that the underlying.
I think it's cheaper to maintain a gravel road because of the paving being so expensive. And it's so much easier if you get a culvert you got to replace. You don't have to cut your blacktop and have a big bump and that kind of thing. But
it's
mud season, so much better.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember I'm trying to remember the reason, which was probably mud season, why it went to blacktop to begin with.
We also don't have a proper.
That's why Jim had it on because of that section.
But it doesn't have a proper base. So that's the issue.
I did some digging in there before they paved it, and I found wood, sticks, black dirt.
And that $500,000-$600,000 estimate or ballpark for paving includes ripping that all, fixing that part,
ripping it up isn't very expensive. You know, they come in with a machine, just dig it up, grind it.
But that's doing it right. That's to do it right.
To do it and get it, try to get it better. Yes. So.
At which point we probably wouldn't salt it anymore.
Look at our Half Good Pond from the basically 7 bump hill from there. To the end,
down to
Langrove, that's been eight, 10 years, and that's in wicked good shape. No salt.
Yeah.
And the cracks are very minimal in that.
Is there another area in Peru that's coming up behind this one?
To be paved?
Yeah.
From the streets up to Mossberg Road would be the next section that would be on the docket for it.
Would that be for next year? For that.
You wouldn't have money enough for probably four years. Yeah. Unless you guys go up with your budget and start.
Well, or if we'll see how we do with grant season. You know,
Right. And there's possible a grant from the state would come in and get part of it.
I know I'm not part of the discussion, but I'm just curious. Which road is this?
South Road.
South Road. Thank you. Yeah, from us to Wynn Hall.
Thanks.
I really like the dirt section. I think where the pavement ends at the town line down South Road is just fine. Like the Wynn Hall part of it to me is almost always pretty decent. And the question is,
you get a bump, you can fix it in dirt.
Yeah.
You know, the next day, you can grade, take the pothole out, you can fill it in, whatever it needs with paving. Yeah.
I am remembering that there were, I think it was two sections that were significantly bad. Mm-hmm. But you're right, you can fix them, but they were similar to as bad as, Lover's Lane would get.
Lover's Lane, that section gets bad.
Two sections. Lover's Lane or certain sections of North Road.
There's a couple of sections.
Where's the town?
About two sections.
Is it before Wynn Hall or is it at Wynn Hall Hollow?
It's north of Wynn Hall Hollow. There's a fancy place that was just built by the Crabtrees that's got like a river rock front to it. That's just into Wynn Hall.
I wonder if we have any indication of what the homeowners on that road would feel like.
Do you know where that is?
I know Debbie Hode is.
Like, that's right at our town line.
Love to see that go back to dirt.
That's on the left side.
Because it's transitions from sheet to dirt?
The minute we did it, that's the first complaint was speed.
That's a correct road timeline.
Yeah. Increase the speed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing I'll just add, if I might, is that, that area has, conserved areas, which I think is kind of nice for keeping it to dirt.
We have walking areas. There's a bird watch or something out there.
Yeah, I'll just add that I think that kind of helps to maintain that integrity of that. But
yeah, I mean, it's paved now, but it's just really bad. And I guess the question is, in a year, I was telling Wayne this morning when we met that having just seen town taxes go up or the budget go up 20%, it's hard to make a bold pavement expansion plan. It doesn't mean that I'm resisting it. I just want us, I feel like we need a lot of public support for the taxes that it would take.
I just wonder what public support or not support there was for when we had them paving it.
That's the bridge, and then the second part of the pavement started right
what
about
what I wonder about that is right there. So
this was back in 2015. It was
people
not.
That are permanent
that's
residents
15.
Versus
yeah, the 15.
Yeah, see, I started in 13, so 14. Somewhere
I think
that,
there's
a couple of years in
that.
That I
mindset of how to,
that it got
what
paid.
Yeah.
Be here.
Yeah.
Well, what do y'all think about just doing some doorbelling? Like, let's talk with people we can contact. Who live south of Route 11 on South Road, and over the next month get as many informal votes or opinions and sort of see where sentiment is on that. Because if everybody who lives down there and uses it for work and recreation and so forth comes up with one voice,
one way or the
then
other.
I think that, that's one of those things where the town is going to look at serving the whole.
So I'm pretty sure Wynn Hall's never going to paint their side.
That's what I understand.
From what I've gotten out of Stewart and their road foreman and that, they have nothing in the future looking for it. So it's, what are we gaining by doing it other than spending money? And don't get me wrong, gravel road, you're going to spend money because you still got to put gravel on.
Yeah.
You're going to grade in labor. But we're already here for that. Repaving is a lump sum. So.
Yeah. It's interesting that it's, so it is a paved section, and I would say there are more residences that are off the pavement that you access by gravel, right? Like, whether it's
rock
bottom, Walt's Camp,
rock bottom, Walt's
Hill,
Camp.
You've got everybody out there that's got to drive in a muddy road to get home. Yeah.
Right.
And they drive from a good road to, or a better road to a
dirt road. Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you're using it as a through road, then you're driving gravel anyway.
You're driving gravel to get to the pavement.
Yeah. So I don't feel like we're sort of taking a formerly paved connector out of service.
Right. There's still dirt there.
Yeah.
It's a catch 42.
It's interesting. Not that it's the same road, but I feel like, only because we live off of that road, but we're just where the pavement ends. But I think on North Road is a good example. Most of those homeowners down there don't want it paved.
Right.
As bad as it gets in mud season, they don't want it paved.
Mm-hmm.
So you wonder. The difference between North Road and South Road is a through road that takes you somewhere.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because for my part-time job in Londonderry, I stopped using it this winter and started driving around through Bonneville.
Because it got so bad.
Because it's just so
hard. I mean, I see hubcaps, mufflers, tailpipes, all kinds of car parts because of hitting the bumps.
Have you been on Windhall Hollow recently?
Oh, yeah. We just went up through.
That's horrible.
Yeah. From Windhall up through Londonderry side's good, of course, because they just ground theirs up and paved it. But the Windhall side is horrible.
Is it bad?
Horrible. I mean, part of it because they ground and paved to a certain point.
Right.
And then from there up through like half of it.
I mean, it's
it.
Not a great road anyways, but now it's like really bad.
Right. It never held up well either.
Just do you think, for the other side of town, the North Road section, do you think that's a... If you say most people are opposed to moving it into pavement, do you think that's a cost sensibility or a speed sensibility?
Just
a character?
I think it's more of a character in the fact that it's backwoods.
Rural town.
Yep. I don't want people that do come down there, I don't want them driving fast.
Yep.
And people use that as their walk and recreation. And I think that it kind of ruins the character of it.
Pretty much any given day you take a ride, somebody's walking there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you put it into pavement, then you're looking at 40, 50 mile an hour traffic. And not that they don't now, because some of them do get going pretty good, but.
I mean, it's interesting because I got the best of both worlds. Like, you know, it's paved to Savage Road, which I love that. Yeah. But the minute I get on Savage, it's dirt, which we have some problems on Savage as well.
Yeah, that muds up pretty well.
But it does. But I wouldn't want to pave Savage Road.
Yeah.
Right. It would attract a lot more traffic than anybody just out riding around. Oh, a paved road.
I might go up there. It ruins the aesthetic. You know, I don't love the mud season part of it, but.
Mud season usually lasts around 2 weeks.
Yeah.
This year might be a little more because we've already been through a week and we're going to start over again.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think I like your idea of just sort of floating the idea. I mean, it almost doesn't really even matter. We wouldn't have enough money to do it anyways. You'd have to go back and...
Wayne's thinking we grind it up.
You grind it
get
up.
Get the grinding part done to
get it done so that it can be maintained. Yeah.
And which the grinding may not have to come out of paving money. That could come out of...
road... Like
just summer maintenance. Yeah.
Because it's maintaining the road, it's not repaving it. It's
right.
So I don't know which way that we could maybe scrounge up some money in different departments.
Yeah. But if doing it right means doing this first phase anyway, and then doing the first phase allows Wayne and Brian to better maintain it with a grader, then it seems like a good first step.
Yeah.
And we just don't. It's not that I want to delay making a decision, but we would get a better road right away. And then if we're going to raise the funds.
Well, you would, you wouldn't. I mean, by the time you got to grind and get in here.
Yeah, no. But I mean.
Right. Well, certainly going through the process.
Who knows?
Would you still fix the culverts and do all the.
We would have to put that in
plan. You would.
Because they're all, I mean, most of those, like I said.
Whether you pave or not.
Whether you pave or not. And they should, my opinion, I've seen it done, the state do it. They'll dig culvert, pave the same year, and everyone goes, whoop,
yeah.
Whoop. Yeah. You know, you're making a whale back there. It's, I'd like, if I was able, do the culverts 1 year, and then wait a year or whatever to pave, or 2 years, you know, do your sec, if we're going to do it in two sections,
yep.
Like go from 11 maybe to the old town garage, and then from there down to Debbie Hodes's, and then put our culverts in, wait a year, let them settle, get frost in them, let them heave-ho, do their thing, then pave.
Yeah.
And it might,
and maybe
may not come out like Seven Bump Hill then.
Those two things might get us to a clearer town opinion about whether we have to go further.
To the town how you're gonna, you know, what we're gonna do, to maybe in two steps. It might take 4 years or it might take 3 years.
Yeah. Maybe they live with that gravel road and they like it.
Okay. Well, right. Or like is, no, we're gonna raise the money and really repay that.
That's right, exactly.
But at that point, we've done the base.
Right.
We've got
a good foundation.
There may be a whole boatload of people that go, yes, we're back to gravel.
Right.
A question that I have totally, I don't think I've heard it changed, is like that area through there strikes me as being wetland, some of it. And I'm just wondering, I don't know this, but how does the difference between dirt road and asphalt stand up to that kind of consideration?
Asphalt goes out of shape the way it is because of your wetter... wetlands,
because I see that as classified as wetlands, even though it's not maybe called
may not
that.
Be on the map, but it is a wet area.
I just want to say from some of my training with FEMA, that's wetland. So you know, I mean, that's
I would think down by
it's
that,
I don't think it, and from having talked with Jim Henderson, our road advisor, I don't think we're going to get steering from the state one way or another.
You'd have to declare it anyway, I think. It's not declared. But just to look at it, I mean, I'm just asking that because of, as far as from the standpoint of, you know, when you look at spending money, and is it a good investment? That's all I'm asking that question for.
The paving part, was it a good investment, or are you saying putting it back to dirt?
I'm just asking the question in general. Like, I don't know... I honestly don't know when someone's looking at wetland area, what is considered best to consider, you know, as far as what type of road. I don't know. That. I mean, I'm just asking that question.
If it's was wetland, like you're saying, right. It should have been prepped better, different. They make filter fabric, road builder. It's made to go under a wet spot, and it holds up really good for blacktop. It's been proven. Well, we got a section by your house. We did that. House, but that little section there that Hunter did for us holds up great. Doesn't move, doesn't shift, but the road around it does.
Yeah.
So you got to do that. I mean, it'd be so expensive to do the whole road. And I mean, if you did it in sections, you know, do 200,000 to 300,000 feet or 1,000 feet at the time, a couple thousand feet every year, get it fixed right, and then pave it. And if you get 10 years to do it. I mean, that's expensive for the material.
That bid I just read, that was for a little over 3,000 feet.
Yeah, 3,000.
So 60, you know, 6/10 of a mile,
and that's
mile,
with the price of, that was 90-something a ton, I think, or?
Yeah.
And what was the grinding, or you might call it bowl magging or grinding, whatever you called it.
I don't know if...
Was it 15,000?
This is just the proposal. There are no subsections or
it should be, it was in there, the price of the grinding and then the price of the paving.
Yeah, I've just got 3/4 shim, 1.25 top, 909 tons at 96 a ton.
Maybe it was on a this. Separate
maybe it's a, there's maybe there's another one.
Separate price.
Because
if he was going to grind it and do it for that, then let him do it.
There's Main Street.
I mean, you look at the map, it just doesn't seem to make sense. Andy's point is a good one, that it's not like there's 100 houses that are right off of South Road that don't have to go on gravel anyway.
And they're all going off onto longer dirt roads.
Exactly right.
It's not like their driveways are right, you know.
To eliminate.
Either going up rock bottom.
Right.
Or
Waltz Camp. Waltz Camp's got... probably most of the houses,
right?
I mean,
Rock Bottom does too.
Yeah, no, I guess, yeah. but it's...
And Halsted out that way.
You don't do anything on Rock Bottom, though, right? We don't.
Yeah, we go out covered? Rock Bottom, not from the fire end side, but from the by the old town garage. Yeah. You go out there, what, half a mile?
Rock okay. Bottom,
and then Halsted.
On the south side, you go off that yes. road and turn around. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I like your idea. I think I like that idea. I mean, you're going to have to grind it anyways.
Yeah, I believe so.
Why don't we get him to price that?
Well, that's what I was going to say.
And maybe
get him, the paving guy, to come give us a price to grind the whole thing up, a price to grind half of it,
yep,
and a price to do a quarter, maybe three different prices, go from Route 11 to the Old Town Garage, from there to Debbie Hodes's and there to Winhall.
All right.
And I'm sure he does it by the foot or the...
Right.
By the feet, you know, somehow, whatever he prices it.
Okay.
So it wouldn't be hard to do. Then we know where we stand and And then go from there.
And we've got a meeting in 2 weeks with the V-Trans contact. He does a kind of a prep meeting every spring, and then we've got a paving and structure grant deadline on tax day that he will guide us through. So I think with the state in the form of Patrick and the regional commission in the form of Jim, I can also explore with them some different options. Just looking to see if we can get any public money for
different phases of it. I did a little investigating this afternoon. Any other towns that I talked to ever dug a road back up after you paved it? You know, like, and not repave it?
Right.
And then one of them that said they ever done it.
Yeah.
Any grants?
Not a long road. Londonderry did a small section. Rose Road used to be paved down, quarter mile, and they took the blacktop up and put it to dirt because they had the same issue. But that was a small section.
Be part of our historic "Take Us Back to the 19th Century" campaign.
That's why I was wondering. Maybe there'd be a grant for that.
Yeah,
we'll
get back to dirt roads and.
You never know what
you're somebody's going to pay these days.
There are some ordinances in some towns for keeping it dirt roads for that reason.
Yep. Yeah. That one weird town to our north that does that. Yeah.
All right. I will get a hold of Mr. Fuller
tomorrow,
get a message to him to get him to come over. Cool. And then we can find out what his plan is on Hapgood Pond Road for doing that paving from last year. Because I'm sure the price is going to go up because of fuel prices this year. But see where he's at. Or what he thinks, because I believe he puts in his contract, and of course he couldn't get to it last year, and that's not our fault, but subject to fuel prices, so.
Okay.
We'll see on that.
All right, the second item, I'll kick it off by reading something I put, it's the last little paragraph at the end of the road commissioner report, I wrote this because Wayne reminded me three times I needed to get on this, and it says, Peru would benefit from having a substitute road crew member who could step in during periods of intense work or if a road crew member is ill. Anyone interested in offering their skills at plowing and sanding winter roads or in summer grading, please talk with us at the town garage. So we had a Peru resident read that, contact me, then meet with Wayne and Brian. And he's interested. And I think hearing Wayne and Brian's perspective on getting someone in sort of as a feeder, we have the possibility of some retirements in the next few years. And also there's just essentially they don't have any substitute, you know, if they're hit with a winter flu. Yeah.
You know, if you come down with the flu or something, we come in.
Yeah.
So is the scheduling such that they can this person work on a moment's notice?
Not sure of that yet. We've discussed it, and you can tell him who. It's Todd Williams.
Yeah.
So he's very experienced.
It's not my husband.
No.
Well, we tried, but he said no. Because,
you know, big trucks and,
Right.
We tried and he said he couldn't, he was too busy for that. We tried Andy too and he didn't want to do it. But it's just.
We'll see after this.
You know, I'm 61, Brian's 63. He's two more years, he's definitely going to retire. And me, I gonna try to hang on for a few more years, see my health, how it goes, and go from there. But we're just, my thought was, winter's really critical. You have to take care of your roads. If one of us is down and out, we got nobody.
Right.
And we've done it for 13 years and got through with, sick or not, we come to work. And you get out of here as quick as you can. But
it gets harder as you get older.
I don't know if we can do it too much more, you know, that, you know, come in sick and hang in a truck. We don't want to cause an accident, hurt somebody, and that kind of thing. Todd seemed more than willing, but he does go snowmobiling in the winter. He's gone a lot. But he said he thought that was going to change and he'd be back here more. If he had notice, he could definitely be here. But if one of us woke up sick and he's in Island Pond,
right,
you know, we still are in the same boat. But so that part, and can't say 100% what he's where he's going to be at. You know, he said in a few more years, he'd definitely be around here. But
yeah,
right at this point, he'd probably still be going up some. So that, in summertime, do we really need a whole bunch of help? No, but if I go on vacation,
you don't have to stop work. You can.
We wouldn't have to stop doing some of, I mean, we got a couple of pretty big grant projects going on this summer, and he's very capable of working and doing everything that I do and Brian does. And if I'm going to be gone for a week, he could come in maybe the whole week and keep the momentum going.
Is there any reason not to? I mean, if he's okay with just basically being on call and working.
He wants 2 days a week. I know that. He'd like to work 2 days a week.
Is he retired?
You know, I don't really know.
Yeah, I mean,
he doesn't work too hard.
Is he retired?
Yeah. And he owns a dumpster company.
In that, and he said that's not busy enough to keep him busy all week. So when he weren't busy there, he could substitute.
Or so he wants guaranteed 2 days a week.
Kinda, yeah. That's, I'm not really that we need every week somebody. Road mowing time, yeah, you could use somebody because then we can keep going. That's a couple of months doing our culverts and the other work, and one guy can be road mowing. It's something I threw out there. Andy took the lead and went with it, and Todd came around and, I mean, he might go one day this week, 2 days next, as we needed him.
Right.
He probably would.
I know he can't make any guarantees, but is his thought potentially that in a 2-3 year period that he would consider doing this full time if one of you retired?
He wouldn't come out and say it.
He wouldn't.
I kind of asked those questions that, you know, I'm,
because that would be ideal, right?
Right. Well, then you know you got somebody coming in.
Right.
And he wouldn't give an answer on that, but personally, I think that's what he's looking at. Yeah. Myself, between us, maybe at his age, it'd be perfect for him to come in and work, do the town stuff, what I do. And if it did work out in maybe 2 years or something, I would drop down and be the worker, and he can call me because, just getting up at night and coming in and looking, riding around, and we got to come to work. He can do it. He's right there. You can call me. You know, that's something we can look into, and if he's interested and that's what he wants to do.
My idea is this, just sort of from a financial standpoint, is I would like to look at there are two small grants that we got this year for culverts and, what's the other one?
Guardrail.
And I'd like to sort of look I'd like to look at that money as available to spend on a part-time person so we can try out having some additional help. And it's either, we can decide how it gets packaged, but if we have an amount that we think we've saved because of some small grants that we could spend on sort of this pilot, you know, it's like, on the job, how does it work? I mean, there's no question that real work would get done. I think it would be nice if Brian and Wayne could both take time off. They're entitled to.
And we kind of make our time off, we kind of coordinate it so we take it at the same time because one guy can't really do anything by himself.
Right. Yeah. So you
can't go ditching, you can go grade,
right.
Sweep the roads, and that, if I take a day off, that's his thing, but a lot of times it's...
You got to take the time off at the same time.
Yeah. You know, he'll
can you use that grant money for...
Well, you can't literally... say... I mean, here's the thing. The grants are based on some employee hours, some hourly truck and tool or machinery operation. And so I think like our grader rents out at like 100 or 100 and a quarter an hour
when they
factor in a, you know. Yeah. So it's not that they'll literally pay, you know, if we had Todd for 1 or 2 days a week, you know, for a summer season, the wages don't literally get routed to him. But we have had at least... You know, and I'm new at this, but I feel like we've done really well with this. We got one big grant and we got two small ones, and it looks like...
Oh, we're doing pretty good on grants. So yeah. They're small. I mean, it's stuff that it's mandatory. We have to do our culverts and our stone line ditching, but we do get kind of reimbursed for it.
Yeah.
Our labor's in the budget anyways, and then they pay us for our labor
Labor to do it, so...
It's like a no-brainer, you know, to get to do it. And then there is some sections that we do... a cost to the town because you got to keep up and you got to have so much done in so much time. And so culverts.
So in theory, the labor for all of these may be paying for this anyways, one way or another.
Yeah. But if you two like the idea, I would explore just like some amateur, you know, or informal budgeting. So we look at how much money is coming in
a wage for him.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that's one of his big things. It's got to fit his...
Sure.
And he already said that. He said it depends on compensation, whether I do it or don't, because he goes, I got other things I could do.
Yeah.
Like, well, the other thing we can't do really is put him over Brian's pay, and Brian's...
Yeah.
And I think, I'm almost thinking, feeling Todd out the other day, that he's going to want pretty good money.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's fair to bring somebody in and overpay what Brian's making.
I mean,
the other option, give us all a raise. I mean, I'm all for that if you guys are.
Now we're getting some, we're getting some traction now.
And I've seen this in other towns.
It's called compression.
That he has mentioned that it would, this is.
It has to be worth his while.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the town wages are public. So, I mean,
he knows what I'm making. He knows what Brian's making.
Yeah.
So I don't. If he's thinking he wants to be in between the two of us, doesn't bother me where he's at, but it will bother Brian, I know.
Yeah, that would seem like a curious practice to have a temporary or on-call person
making more than your
suddenly making employee. More than somebody who's been here doing steady work for a long time.
Especially if their on-call means they may not actually be on-call.
Right, he could be gone.
May not be here.
Call up, wake up that morning and say, Todd, can you come in? No, I'm in.
Exactly, I'm not here.
Yeah.
So it's not a guarantee he's going to be around
at
this point. I mean, if he moves back here and stays here, then probably the chances are pretty good that he would substitute for the plowing and that. As far as our summer work, we can schedule that with him. Well, he can come Monday and I can come Thursday. We know that. But in the winter, we don't.
Well, we've got a pretty healthy culvert installation season coming up.
We do.
I think it would be a good...
Can we do a trial?
Test.
Through the fall or something, and then revisit it in the fall?
Well, I would say we try to put something together for the summer to help get all that...
Right.
Like the stuff that's already paid for and that we're obliged to
do. No, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
revisit
the
fall. Yeah, like get them on for the summer and then revisit.
See how it looked.
Exactly.
And
Maybe put it out there, you know, start out at whatever you guys come up with.
Yeah.
And then
how many hours
reevaluate in 3 months, six months, whatever you guys come up with. And that would probably encourage you more.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody, I'm wishing everybody good health. You know, Brian fully intends to plow next winter, like up to be.
Plow and then work till somewhere around September, I think, is what he's thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, this is subject to change. You know?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
He could just say, well, I think I better stick around another couple of years.
Yeah. Well, the new trucks, you know, the winter after that, we'll have the new truck.
Now, but yeah.
Oh, so he's retiring.
Yeah, he'll be 65 in July.
Oh, this July?
No, next
July. Oh, next July. Yeah.
So he's got another winter and then
got it.
The summer.
Got it.
And then figuring out the exact date and if it's going to work, you know, Social Security and your retirement and where it all benefits you the most to do it.
My thought too is that if Todd is interested in that work, knowing, but you know what I mean? Like if it seems as if a year and a half from now or two winters from now, a full-time job with benefits is coming along.
He might.
And he's mentioned the benefits, you know.
Yeah, like that's.
Insurance, I think, is what he's.
Yeah.
And,
sure.
But honestly, that is a big.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big thing.
Right.
I mean, you're looking at, I think you guys are paying $14,000, $15,000 for each one of us.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good chunk, so.
But, you know, at that point, if he's worked with the crew, he's worked with Wayne some, and, you know, we can.
Yeah, maybe in a year like and a half, nice, year, he'll.
Yeah.
And he could go the whole other way and say, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Something well, do we like the idea of just throwing around some numbers and trying to come up with something that is, seems to fit with summer, it would be summer road maintenance budget.
Put him on board if it fits, pull the grant
for
a couple of
together.
Days a week or when he's available and we need him and let him try it out. And
yeah, but let's say it was, I mean, if summer is 16 weeks long, let's say we committed to 24 days, something like that, right?
Yeah, that you guys can.
And at an hourly, and then we sort of move that around. And maybe that's too low. Maybe we get higher than that. But I think I hear you on, like, the wage can't be out of whack with what the existing employees are paid.
His opportunity would be when Brian leaves.
Right, I would think.
Well, from a salary standpoint.
Yeah, unless it seems viable to have a 20 or 40% person, you know. And I'm not, like, trying to open the door to that, but if it helps us get our work done,
yeah,
and there's some grant money that's helping cover it.
I mean, three people full time, I think, would be a little much.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes us, I don't know, on a regular, easy snowstorm, you know, you can plow and sand and be out of here in four or five hours if everything goes good, but lately we've been breaking down a lot, so
yeah,
things haven't been going smooth. But if you had three guys, and then you'd be in, and then you got to buy another truck.
Well, so. And yeah, and also so back to that budget issue I mentioned.
So,
yeah, it's a lot. Right. So, yeah.
And I think we take care of the town for the time for roads and safety. We're pretty good with two guys. You guys are, you know, everybody. This is a town that don't wake up real early, I don't think. You know, we're not. You don't. I come in around 5:30, 5 o'clock, and take a look.
Yeah.
And there isn't a car been on the road yet.
Yeah.
6 o'clock, one or two are moving. And 8 o'clock, yeah, they're starting, the kids are going to school, and the roads, the main ones, are all opened up and ready to go. So three guys, I think, would be pushing it. Summertime, if the grants keep coming in and we can continue that,
then that covers
week,
it.
A couple days a week is probably good.
Cool. Ben, do you like the idea of kind of coming up with some numbers and maybe for our next meeting get, mm-hmm. I don't feel like we're close enough to make a motion on anything, but
do you like you guys got to talk about pay before, I mean, and then
well, yeah, I mean, yeah, the, but we should
figure
bounce
that
it off
out
Cheryl
out
and
the budget.
Sort of look, yeah.
See where you're at.
Does that sound?
Yep. Works for me.
Okay. All right.
Ben, you seem confused. Or are you just thinking?
No, I'm good. I
think, you just saying it didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if he, you know, I would, let's pick a number and go back to him and say, we're not going to guarantee you 16 hours a week, you know, but we have this work lined up. Do you want to do it at this pay? And if he says yes and he's willing to be flexible, that's great. You know,
yeah.
I think what we don't want to get shoehorned in is to finding work for someone.
Right. Well, that, I didn't either because
work.
I'm comfortable with the way me and Brian do things and how it works, but with the extra grant work and culverts, we could probably push them out and get them. We have to get one of them done this year, and then the other one, I think, has to actually be done by the end of the season two. So we got two that, and then the guardrails, of course, will be hired out, but I think we're going to have to do some maintenance on the road down through cleaning up the windrow with dirt that's from the sand, some of that kind of stuff before they install them, so...
I love the idea if he's flexible.
You know? I think he'll be
Okay.
flexible without any doubt.
Good.
All right, this is a big day for roads. We've done it. Thank you for coming in and laying it all out.
I'll get a hold of Fuller on grinding, get a price, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, awesome.
Then the next meeting, he should have the price by then, I would think, and so you guys could hack it out, see where we're at.
Did you do, when the whole thing was going on with the, you know, the closing off of this road up here, did you actually poll people, or did you just talk to homeowners or ask them what they thought?
You mean about paving Main Street?
Not paving, about that, the closing of that
closing
entrance.
Closing
off the
Route 11 down.
The west entrance.
We were going to.
Of Route 11.
Were you involved in that?
I was
You weren't involved in that?
No.
I wondered if they spoke.
That whole, there were like three different traffic calming plans. I was not here yet.
Oh,
for that
okay.
one. So
yeah, one was closing off, one was putting a roundabout, one was coming in from South Road.
Right.
Yeah. Which I couldn't see that would cause more accidents.
No.
Yeah.
Trailer trucks coming around and somebody waiting to get in there. That kind
of, I just wondered if there was like an unofficial polling of
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
The ones in the street were a lot more for closing down coming in from Route 11. Like Mr. Potter, those guys, they just don't want traffic going by.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
But let's spread the word that we're trying to develop a South Road.
Post that on somewhere in town where everybody can read and know to come to a meeting and talk
sandwich
about
board?
It.
Sandwich board?
Yeah, somewhere.
Give South Road to Wynn Hall or something like that just to get people to show up
to
a meeting.
Come to a meeting and talk about South Road.
Yeah. All
right. Yeah. I guess you're right. That is your forum to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I want to move through. We got a few more things on here. Not a lot of words, but some of them are going to take some time. Old business, the municipal code of ethics requirement. I've been trying to finalize the rosters for the different boards and committees so that Melinda and I know exactly who is going to get the alert. She's going to send it out, but the requirement that we do this short training and submit our proof of training to her. The good news is our whole zoning board has agreed to come back. Peter Bradford would happily give up the chair role there, so that's for them to work out, but it is complete, and so I think we're pretty close. I mean, we also have to report to the state, you know, what our various, who our town folks are, but on the various committees, so we'll do that, and you all will get the email too, just because we'll all have to do that. The select board procedure document, I'm unfortunately going to have to punt until our next meeting. I thought I knew where I had it, and I could not find it before this meeting, so in 2 weeks I hope to put that in front of you all. Consider that this is new business. Consider town meeting vote to consider, that's a double, yeah, nice, additional local option tax types. I'll just get right to it. I would move that we warn a meeting, what's called a special town meeting for the town of Peru to consider the addition of the other two local option taxes. I mean, that's what was informally voted on. The calendar, I will tell you.
What do we need to, a quorum or a certain number of votes? Or just a majority of whoever shows up? Or?
So to decide the vote at this special town meeting, it would be a majority that would pass that motion. I'm just moving that we announce such a meeting.
Right. We need a certain number of votes. We just need to, if 10 people show up, as long as the majority of those 10 vote for it, we can pass it.
I think that is right.
Okay.
So the town meeting day was a vote to actually have to bring this up.
That was a recommendation. That vote was non-binding. It was, let's call it advisory.
Yep.
If we chose May 2nd, as that's a Saturday, it's also the first Saturday in May, and it is Green Up Day. So it's already something of a day of civic action. If we chose May 2nd, then the meeting warning requirements would be that sometime at the earliest we could announce this or warn this meeting next Monday, the 23rd, the last day on which we could warn it and hold it on May 2nd would be April 2nd.
April 2nd.
So it's a not before 40 days out and not after 30 days out. And
then is the recommend, do we have other restrictions on what we can, what the one, what the tax, is it a, does it have to be a 1% or does it?
It has to be 1% without going through a fairly elaborate dance with the legislature. So I'll just tell you that Stowe has entered into this dance with the legislature to do a 2%.
Got it.
And that takes more. And I feel
what's
like.
What does Manchester do?
They have, they're what's called a gold town, which means they have the 1% tax on the three available.
Okay, they do only 1%.
Yeah, so they have the sales tax and the meals and served alcohol or served drinks tax. So that's, those would be the other two.
But the provisions in town that serve alcohol and food also have a, their tax is higher. There's a, they have a rooms and meals tax.
In town, you mean?
Well, I mean like Seesaws and Bromley. I mean, they have a, they pay their, they have a, they're like a, whatever, 10% rooms and meals tax.
Each tax is, I mean, the state has,
right, that's a state tax.
And I can't rattle them all off. I mean, alcohol's 10, it would go to 11.
Yep.
Meals are 9, that would go to 10.
Yep.
Sales is 6, that would go to 7. Right? So that's that's the, and the room, you know, we passed the rooms tax at town meeting, and that one is so complicated because there, if it's an STR, it gets 3% more added by the state than, and how they track all that, I don't know. So a hotel pays one tax, but a short-term rental pays that plus the three. And I can't remember if that's...
Yeah. Let's do it May 2nd.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. I move that on May 2nd, we hold a special town meeting to consider additional local option taxes.
Meeting to be held at the place where you put your green up bag when it's full.
Yeah, a roving meeting. Yeah, okay. No, I think we probably announce it for right back here.
That's, with your pitchfork.
Yeah. Does anybody want to second that?
I second it.
All right. Let's vote on that motion.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Great.
Unanimous. Problem, so.
I know. I was just going to say that, that there's that money can be used for anything in the town. Right?
Does the you don't restrict it to anything though? It would be can you say it's on short term rentals?
Can you target?
Can the 1% be for anything that's for sale? That anything that you're collecting tax on already?
Yes. Yeah. And then, but what we can't do is sort of hijack the exemptions. Like, it's like clothing is not taxed.
No. I get that.
Yeah.
So I know that.
It's already on the...
On the so things like, that are taxable today. Yeah.
With me running my small business selling auto parts, or parts that I install on a car, I'm going to be charging 7% instead of 6. Right?
Yes. Correct.
Because it's an option tax. It's right on my form.
Yes.
The town does it. So
that's right. Perfect. It goes.
So I would be.
It gets passed off to your customer.
Anybody that sells.
Yeah.
Right.
And that just automatically goes that just goes into the general fund, right?
Yes. I mean, I think the way I heard his recommendation, one of the attorneys held a meeting on this. They have these sort of legal lunch sessions, and somebody brought that up. And I think their advice was that if a town passes this, they would recommend that you just put it into the general fund rather than earmarking it for a bunch of things.
Right.
Because goes to the general and then the town decides how to spend it from there.
Do we have any anticipation of what that dollar amount's going to be? I mean, obviously the largest amount's going to come from Bromley.
Yeah, I think we should get, I mean, Bromley's declared revenue in 2024 was $13 million. So, and I don't know enough about this to say, like, does that all mean sales? Like, is every dollar of that, you know, and I just don't know.
So a ticket is a sale.
That is, yeah.
Well, all their food, all their
and
tickets,
all their food,
everything.
Their alcohol, I mean, they're big on all of that.
Yeah,
right.
So. Yeah, I mean, they're not.
I mean, we pay a 1% at same at Stratton.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And
yeah,
Stratton actually, half of Stratton is actually in the town of Windhall, which does not have a tax and still pays the 1% to the town of Stratton.
Huh.
Oh, they do.
Interesting.
The golf course that sits in Windhall, any revenue from that is a 1% tax to the town of Stratton.
Yeah.
We're probably talking about maybe $100,000 is what
we're doing. It's $100,000 more than we had today.
Yeah.
That's a quarter mile of road paving.
There you go.
That's 10% of our annual budget. So
we're not paving roads, Wayne. Right. That's, okay. That's 10 years of maintenance for a gravel road.
Oh, you mean it's not a road fund?
But wait, if we could do them in gold, that might hold up better, right?
Ben don't want his road paid, so we can take your apron off too then, right?
You all right, we've like moved it.
I like it.
We have
some
appointments to make. I think I'm going to skip over school board because I want to go into executive session for that. I am currently the road commissioner, and I would like to continue to do that. I like the work. I like working with Wayne and Brian and Jim Henderson.
Does Wayne like working with you?
Well, he's here, so. but it is a select board appointment. So if you all,
I move that Andy stay as road commissioner.
Oh, you
should.
Yeah, but feel free to dump me right.
No,
right
I,
here and
I,
now. I will
I,
not go I, away bitter.
I do not.
But I do.
But you got to have somebody else to do it.
Well,
so, yeah. Well, Mike Gaten. He wants him. You can just nominate him anyway.
That will cost you a lot of money.
And a marriage, right?
Your road will be gold.
This is currently a commissioner role that has no pay attached to it, just to be clear. So,
I'm kind of curious. I know you can't reveal because of going into executive session, but can you context why that one requires an executive session?
No, absolutely not.
You cannot.
No. I will move. That's the only reason I'm mentioning executive session is that I will, when we do that, because we have to invite two of you to leave. I was going to put
right,
that
I
at
understand.
The end of the meeting, but no, I will tell you what the state asks me to say to move into executive session, and it's simply because we're going to talk about appointing someone, but why it would be done there rather than in the public session, no, I will not in any way indicate that.
Well, on that note, it seems I'm not needed anymore. I'm going
to
leave.
Well, you don't have to leave yet.
Me out afterwards.
This is your chance. You want to change the road commissioner or
no?
No. Okay. All right.
You're still
moved.
It's up to
I
Ben
moved.
To second, and truly, no hard
second.
Opinion. All right.
Unless Ben wants to be the road commissioner,
it's dynamite work. It's so much fun.
Not that we wouldn't want
to
work
us.
With Wayne, but
come see us. Do
once,
some paperwork.
Once Todd's around, then I'll come hang out.
Yeah,
I bet you will.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you've moved it and you've seconded, I think there's a majority that is in favor. I will not vote, but are we going to keep the road commissioner as name? As okay, does that seem good?
Yep.
All right. 911 coordinator. I mentioned earlier. Planning Commission talked with David Kiernan, our zoning administrator, about that. He was surprised that wasn't already kind of his. It usually tracks with the zoning administrator. When Will Goodwin was the zoning administrator, he was also 911. When we went to a temporary, Nick informed us that he couldn't do that as a temporary, and so he insisted that we name someone. Alex Sheets took that on in that kind of vacuum. But the Planning Commission felt very strongly that it should go back to the road, to the zoning administrator. And it's actually, like, David's been fielding all the requests for it already. So, hey, David. So anyway, I feel like I would, from the Planning Commission, like to move that we transfer it back to our ZA currently.
I second it.
Okay.
Aye.
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 Great. The others, I mean, the Planning Commission and Zoning Board of Adjustment will meet. My feeling is that at their first meeting, they will confirm their membership and elect a chair. But that's not something, I mean, we have, let me flip to this here. My term expired on the Planning Commission. I am happy to continue. Jim Jordan, his term came to an end. He resigned before the end of the term, but close enough before town meeting that we didn't appoint a replacement for the, I mean, I think that happened in November, right. So we just sort of rode that out. We are actually, the statement that we have two vacancies is inaccurate. We are only obliged to have four. So that, and I didn't realize that until we were editing the bylaw with this group, that in fact, we're not out of compliance with our own, our roster right. is full. Chuck Black is the only ZBA member who whose term is expiring this year, but he's offered to continue. So I think the only real, like the continuing appointments or the appointment of people who are already doing it, should we wish to do that, are me on the Planning Commission and Chuck on the Zoning Board. So
they're filled.
Well, they would be if the Select Board is happy reappointing two people who are already serving in those roles. And I'm here to say I'll continue, and Chuck's already told me that he will continue. So
let's do it.
Okay.
There you go.
You want to make a motion on both of those?
I would like to motion that. Yes.
Okay. All right. Great. You want a second?
I second.
Okay. I'm happy to vote for Chuck.
I'm aye.
Aye. I'm not going to vote for myself.
I vote for Andy.
All right. Great. Thank you both. That was Ben making the motion. Lori seconding. The only other, let's see, I'm trying to think if there's any other by appointment office that we are, can you all think of any? These are the only ones that are appointed that were in question, because the rest are elected. All right, I think that's.
And that was it?
Yeah. So school board is its own topic, and we have bills to come up, but just because of the nature of school board, let's see here, let me get to this thing. Sorry, I've got a... All right. So the select board may enter into executive session in which the public is excluded only in conformance with the provisions of 1 VSA section 313. Executive session may only be held to consider one or more of the following. And the one that is pertinent is appointment or employment or evaluation of a public official or employee, provided that a public body shall make a final decision to hire or appoint a public official or employee in an open meeting, and shall explain the reason for its final decision during the open meeting. So that makes sense? Like, mm-hmm. We can have a deliberative session that's private,
right.
But the result of that must be announced. And actually the motion to take the action decided on the executive session, that part gets announced in public. But I would move that we enter executive session to do just this, to oh gosh, a point.
I second it.
All right. So all right, with that, we have to invite you all to leave. But you
the
can't.
The meeting's over, though.
Well, no, we will come out of executive session.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you are?
And announce the results, yeah. And then we will, the only thing remaining after that will be the, any other business, and then paying the bills.
And it was paying bills,
yeah. It's a theory. Well, that's good.
Sorry, I'm trying to figure out how
to. Did you want to say something?